Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and yep, just plain right. Here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN, I'm going to tell you right now, too, this is the biggest show in the afternoons across the northern part of our state, and it is because of this audience. I'm sitting here looking at a sign that I keep, just a handwritten thing up on the wall right above where I'm sitting. It says, it is an honor to have this platform, and I mean that, and I appreciate y'all very much. So listen, I want to do this. I want to move into back to a topic. So if you were listening in the first hour, right at the end of the first hour, wham, the internet went down. And so basically what that does is it shuts off our feed, and next thing you know, the system's in an automatic reboot, and we ain't talking. So Copper slapped on some ads, and we had to finish out that section. I was in the middle of doing an entire segment on national security issues. And I'm intent on going back and finishing some of that up before I go on to the next segment. Triple dipper for the day. Number one was national security, but we only got to about 0.75 of it, if you know what I mean. So let me do this. National security. I was telling you that I had a study that was done last year in the tail end of the Trump administration by the Heritage Foundation, giving our military readiness a grade. And the overall grade was what they called marginal. The assessment was that while there have been vast improvements, for instance, the Army vastly upgraded its capabilities in terms of its brigade combat teams and that kind of thing, that the assessment finally concluded, though, that we were not poised and ready for a potential two-war situation. In other words, if there were major outbreaks in different parts of the world, it was not clear that we could sustain it with our current level of military readiness. That being said, I then started taking you on a walk around the world. I talked about the fact that Iran has just announced, and the IAEA has confirmed, that they have doubled their enriched uranium, and that our own Secretary of State says they are potentially just mere weeks away, because of the level of enrichment they put on that uranium, mere weeks away from being able to weaponize it. At the same time, Israel announced in the last few days that they are aggressively moving forward with plans to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities, because they will not, they say, allow Iran to gain nuclear stockpiles. There's that. And then on top of that, you got situations brewing in other parts of the world. Now, I question what our level of military readiness looks like now that we are a year removed from that study. Because the things that I'm giving you in the walk around the world are current events now, whereas the military readiness was assessed under a different administration. The Biden administration has not inspired confidence whatsoever. Now, some of you may differ, and if you want to differ, call in and tell me why. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a veteran, as someone who has served in two war zones, as someone who is both the son, grandson, and father of military service members, I am of the firm belief that we are not being led from a position of strength right now. Case in point, two headlines right now on FoxNews.com that popped up while I was in the commercial break. First one says, you ready for this? The Pentagon says that China and climate change are equally important national security threats. What in God's name? Why is the Pentagon saying that China and climate change are, quote, equally important national security threats? On top of that, we have another headline right below it on the same page. Quote, are you ready for this? The Marine Corps wants to pay a diversity, equity, and inclusion advisor as much as they do one of their generals. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So they're wanting to bring somebody in who's like a GS-15, GS-16, GS-99, I don't know, status, and pay them the same level as a general officer to be the Marine Corps' diversity, equity, and inclusion advisor. How are these assisting us with military readiness? And what in the world is China thinking when our Pentagon literally says out loud, by the way, that climate change is equally important in terms of national security threat as China is? Let me go to that article real quick. I'm just going to click on it. I got to go there. I can't just stop at the headline. Hang on one second. Getting there. The Pentagon said Wednesday that it considers China and climate change to be equally important national security threats facing the Department of Defense. John Kirby, yep, there he is, John Kirby, the press secretary for the DOD, says both are equally important. Both are challenges that the secretary, that's our Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, wants the senior leadership of the Pentagon to be focused on, as well as many others too. Really? So while that's happening, let me tell you some other things that are happening around the world. Israel has been conducting airstrikes in Syria against Iranian targets. Israel actually, as appears to be, we don't know for a fact, coordinating some of these efforts with Assad's regime and the Russians, who, by the way, still have a heavy presence in the Syrian conflicts. Meanwhile, Turkey is not happy with the United States. Turkey is still ticked off that they're not getting F-35 fighters because they thought they were going to, and now they're not. Turkey can't stand the fact that we ally ourselves in Syria and in northern Iraq with the Kurds. The Kurds are considered lower than life by the Turkish government. And so the Turkish government, supposed to be our ally, is now at odds with us in a region that is unstable, where we have troops in Syria fighting with the Kurds. We suddenly have to deal with Turkey on the back poking at the Kurds. I'm just telling you, folks, it's a rough day around the world. Other things happening in the world right now. North Korea. Let's walk a little further around the world for a minute. North Korea, teetering on the brink of famine, according to an article in Defense Weekly. Looking at it right here, aid organizations fear that malnutrition will soon start claiming lives in North Korea as a subpar harvest combines with ongoing food shortages brought on by coronavirus border closures. Why is that in Defense Weekly? Well, because wars are started for less. When a nation like North Korea realizes it doesn't have what it needs to sustain itself, it begins to lash out and seek for ways to get what it needs. North Korea is like a petulant child on the world stage. It says this June, a report issued by the South Korean-based Korea Development Institute estimated that the North had gathered just 4.4 million tons of crops, which was 240,000 tons down from the previous year's harvest. That's literally 1.3 million tons less than what it needs to actually feed its people, and yet they have zero imports coming in, and their borders with China have been largely closed. I'm just telling you, people, it's big doings. Let me run to the phones for a minute. I got some time for that. We're talking national security issues. I got Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams on line five there, Copper. Mike from Huntsville, Phil Williams on right side. How you doing, man?
Phil, good talking to you. You know, it's amazing to me that they're, this is like when Blinken was criticizing the Taliban for not having any women when they're beating them and executing them for not having a burqa on, and or when they flew the gay flag over the U.S. embassy in Afghanistan, and now they're making purging the military using the vaccine to do it, or your political ideology. And yeah, you're right, we have a real problem far beyond being ready for a two-front war. We may not be ready for a one-front war with China and nor Iran. And that's a situation that's very, very significant and exacerbated by Biden.
Well, I completely agree. And Mike, I see the little ticker shows me at the bottom of the screen with your name on it that says something about the Marine Corps. Are you a Marine veteran yourself, or are you a service member?
No, I did some special operations stuff back in the 90s.
Okay, well, appreciate your service, man, and thank you for that. And you were spot on, Mike. Thanks for the phone call, and we appreciate you being in the audience. So there's why in the world would they fly a gay pride flag in a country that you're not going to force the change in the culture by flying the flag over the embassy. In fact, if anything, you're going to infuriate people. Hey, let me run to another call here before I run out of time. Al in Athens on line one. Hey, Al, Phil Williams here. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing okay. I just found out something over the weekend, and I guess I've been asleep at the wheel. But one of my Navy vets, I'm a 28-year Navy veteran, and it really upset me to hear that the Biden administration had commissioned the USS Harvey Milk.
Yep.
It's an oiler, an AO
yep.
oiler. And that the next ship that will be released will be the George Floyd. Now, come on.
I've not heard about the George Floyd. Wow.
Naming ships after people like that, just it really embarrasses me.
Yeah, I mean, what happened to the days of naming them like the USS Ronald Reagan, or the Nimitz?
Exactly. It should at least be a war hero.
You'd think. I mean, and Harvey Milk was allegedly a pedophile.
And from San Francisco.
Exactly.
Proud activist.
Well,
to me, that speaks to the type of readiness that you're referring to. Although, you know, you would not believe all the comments that are coming out about all the crass jokes regarding it. It's really an embarrassment to our nation.
And, you know, usually, and you would speak to this, by the way, thanks for your service, Al. Appreciate you being so long in the Navy, but you could probably speak to this. I assume you did ship duty at some point in your 28 years, did you?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. On a USS Nassau LHA 4, I was an officer of the deck and combat officer. And I feel sorry for the guys serving the military, men and women serving in the military today.
Well, there's some good ones.
All this wokeism.
There's a lot of wokeism, and there's good folks still out there. I mean, I'm encouraged by some I know, some in my family, as a matter of fact. But you're right. There's a whole lot more they have to deal with right now in terms of cultural wokeness. And I was about to say too, with your tour on ship duty, the reality is too, a lot of times you take pride in you know that particular vessel that you're on, and I'm wondering how many people are going to be able to proudly say I serve on the Milk.
Well, you know what the motto is, so we never leave each other's behind.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to take that one. Just leave it right there, Al. All right, Al, thanks for being in the audience, man. Appreciate the call. We got to run to a break. Copper, go ahead and take us on that note to a short break. We'll come back. I'll finish up this national security and move to the next thing in the triple dipper and take calls if you want to. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me tell you about the National Christian Foundation. You hear their ads running on the show. Well, that's something that Charlene and I use personally. I mean, it's easy for me to testify to this one because we use it. National Christian Foundation, it's a great way to streamline your charitable giving. So here's the deal. We support our church and other charities like many of you do, right? And usually you have to write multiple checks or you have to go on your online banking and click on multiple payments. Well, all you do with National Christian Foundation, you give your money to one place. And the one place, NCF, National Christian Foundation, they manage it like a money portfolio. They grow it, they invest it for you, they take care of it. So if you put some in there, whether you're going to pay it out right away or pay it out later, it's being managed for you and grown. You actually expand your capability for giving. And then whenever you're ready, you say, go ahead and send the checks here, 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 and here. And they do, just like that. At the end of the year, though, because National Christian Foundation itself is a 501c3, bam, for your taxes, you've got one sheet of paper. You're not having to produce all these slips from different charities and get them all together because NCF is the one doing it for you at your discretion. And if you come into like a windfall and you want to get the tax deduction for that windfall right away, put it in NCF. You can come back and give it later because the charitable contribution you just received is immediate when you give it to NCF. It's very cool, and they run it on godly principles. And the folks that run it right here in Alabama, I know them personally, and they are just amazing people. So let me just tell you, go check them out, National Christian Foundation. You can find them at ncfgiving.com/Alabama. That's ncfgiving.com/Alabama. All right, finishing up this section, Copper, if you would please get clip 3 ready for me, just let me know when you got it. So here's the deal. National security. What does it mean? When you look at a Pentagon that is concerned more about wokeness and climate change than it is about China, or at the very least says in an open press conference that they're on equal footing. The same on the day of the Marine Corps' birthday, by the way, Semper Fi, happy birthday, Marine Corps. But on the day of the Marine Corps' birthday, they announced that they're going to pay someone to be the Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the Marine Corps at the same level as a general who has spent his career earning the right to wear that star. I just boggles the mind. Meantime, China, the one that is on equal footing with climate change, China has taken its time now to build true targets in a desert range where it practices aerial warfare. And if you've not seen the news, you need to look it up. China built exact model replicas of our battle cruisers and an aircraft carrier so that they can practice targeting on naval warfare that looks just like U.S. forces. What does that tell you? Well, General Jack Keane had something to say about it. And so, Copper, go ahead and play clip three.
Obviously, our guys practice and gals practice shooting at targets as well, and we make some facsimile of a target. But normally, you don't see a replica made to this kind of a standard. So it emphasizes how important this strategy is. And what the Chinese will do is, as an aircraft carrier and its surface ships come within range of offensive Chinese missiles and air power, they will swarm against them. And they can also use hypersonic conventional missiles to do that. Most of the games that we play indicates that the Chinese have an advantage, and they would be able to render casualties to these high capital assets on a scale we haven't seen, Bill, since World War II.
General, I just think the symbolism is extraordinary. And yet again, it shows you that President Xi is all about China first. We need to underscore that yet again as we look.
There you go. So as China goes into a China first policy, which it never really has been out of that policy, it's always been China first to China. And you know what? I can't blame them. They're not supposed to be America first, and they're China. And we're not supposed to be China first, by the way. But too often it feels like we are so intent upon appeasing and accommodating and trying not to ruffle and hoping for a policy of containment, whereas containment has never, in the history of man, containment has never had been a long-term solution. And now we're looking at a military right now that is faced with readiness issues because of vaccine mandates, despite the fact the Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin said he does not believe the vaccine mandates will impact readiness. We just saw yesterday that over 60,000 of our U.S. service members across the various branches have not met deadlines so far for getting vaccinated. Lawsuits are being filed by Navy SEALs and a class action military member lawsuit for others down in Florida. And then you've got the fact that North Korea teetering on the brink of famine. You've got U.S. lawmakers visiting Taiwan trying to bolster that, while in the meantime, China is flying its military aircraft into Taiwan's airspace. You've got Iran saying that it's doubled its nuclear stockpiles and enriched uranium at a rate that we had not seen before. Our own Secretary of State says they could potentially be weeks away from making nuclear weapons, and the Israeli Defense Force is having to prepare to strike Iranian nuclear facilities because they will not allow Iran to become a nuclear nation. And the grades for our military strength last year were moving up, but they were still deemed marginal. And Afghanistan is a world symbol of America's new posture of appeasement and weakness on the world stage. Folks, it ain't good. That's a solid assessment of a guy who loves our U.S. military. I am by no means a detractor. My service in uniform, my family service in uniform is something that I honor and I cherish and will never ever forget or take advantage of. But I'm just telling you, we're in a place I don't like right now. And we better snap out of it. We need a sea change in this administration where we're going to be on the world stage being talked about as what used to be and not what is. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back talking about cancel culture, critical race theory. They're getting knocked around a little bit, and I'm glad of it. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, let me tell you about Just Love Coffee Cafe. So some of y'all are already thinking about heading home. Why'd you not? It's 4:36. So you're looking at the end of the day. You're thinking, what am I going to do for dinner? I'm just going to tell you right now, whether you stop there for breakfast and a cup of coffee on the way in or grab something to eat for lunch or on the way home, Just Love Coffee Cafe has got a menu you're going to want to check out. All right. So check their website before you leave and decide if you want to order online and pick it up when you get there. But their sandwiches, their salads, their desserts are amazing. Their coffee brew brews and blends, their cold cold brews, all of them are all so good. And they've got all the stuff you would want in terms of those special blends of coffee, like the macchiatos, the lattes, the cappuccinos, and then just their standard, you know, roasted coffees are bar none. They're award-winning. Check them out. Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, Hughes Road in Madison, and then South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Just Love Coffee Cafe. All right, so I'm going to jump into another topic and just kind of finish out the show with it. I'm going to kind of run through it. But before I do, I got to tell you, I just saw a story. This is so worth it. This is so worth it. Copper, grab the mic there. What would you think is the smallest child ever born? Copper, have you got the mic? I'm sorry. I said, what would you think? I just found this story and I love it. What would you think is the smallest boy ever born, or smallest child ever born?
Ooh, maybe 3 pounds?
No, girl. Little Curtis Means of Utah, Alabama, was born weighing only 14 ounces, less than a pound. And this story is on AL.com, which usually doesn't have good news stories, I'll be honest with you. But this one by Associated Press story they picked up, he's literally in the Guinness Book of World Records. They just declared it. He was born 132 days premature on July 5th, and they didn't think he would survive. He actually had a twin that didn't survive, but they didn't think he would, but he began to just rally. And next thing you know, he spent, and by the way, that was July of 2020, he spent 275 days in the hospital. They got a little video of him, little guy, and he looks a lot more robust now, and he's doing good. But the picture at the top of the article, he is barely bigger than the hands that are holding him. And so God bless little Curtis Means of Utah, Alabama. Love that. All right, Copper, I got some clips up there for you on the board. If we can get to them, we may get to them. But, folks, I'm going to jump into this topic here. All right, so got this poll that came out, and this story right now I'm looking at is in the Christian Post Reporter. So the Christian Post is literally saying, the headline says, most Americans think that cancel culture is out of control. You think? Well, anyway, what they're saying here, though, is it's across the board now. It's not just like conservatives think it's out of control. Democrats, progressives are getting sick of it. Over two-thirds, it says, this story, by the way, this story just came out in the last few days. Over two-thirds of adults in the United States believe that cancel culture has gotten out of control, and most believe that protecting free speech is important. More important than protecting people from speech that's offensive, according to a Rasmussen report. Now, Rasmussen is a good surveyor, all right? Rasmussen and the National Pulse conducted a survey of 1,000 U.S. adults in October with a margin of error plus or minus 3 points. And according to the report, 72% of respondents said they believe that cancel culture was out of control. Yes, yes, it is. So that being said, why is there a tone deafness among leadership right now? I mean, it's like, okay, folks, the world, the Joes and Janes on the street are sick to death. The right side ruffians are tired of it. And by the way, it's not just the right side ruffians, it's sometimes the left side loonies. I mean, it's both sides of the aisle are getting sick of cancel culture and critical race theory. So yet, despite that, story on Fox News, Kamala Harris delivers her remarks at a left-wing donor summit focused on critical race theory. What? The Vice President of the United States is slated to deliver pre-recorded remarks. Basically, it's a virtual remarks, but nonetheless, she's delivering remarks to an organization. It's a virtual summit for the Democracy Alliance, which is a network of liberal mega donors founded by billionaire George Soros. And issues of critical race theory are reportedly on the agenda for this year's summit, which comes right after the Virginia elections, when that was front and center. People were sick to death of it, and they went for it anyway. Speaking of Virginia, as I surf through these storylines that I have gathered for you about critical race theory and or cancel culture, looking at it right now, Loudoun School Board. So this apparently, Loudoun County, Virginia, ground zero for fighting critical race theory. All right? I mean, wow. The Loudoun County School Board just erupted again last night, even a week after those elections, right? The Loudoun County School Board is still a royal pain. Parents went to the meeting again. I mean, why would anyone want to be on this school board anymore? But the Loudoun, but nonetheless, I'm proud of these parents. The Loudoun County School Board meeting erupted into shouting on Tuesday night after parents confronted members of the school board after the parent group called Fight for Schools filed more than 2,000 signatures to remove the school board chair. Wow. So here's the great line, all right? Jessica Mendez is a mom in Loudoun County, Virginia. Now, I want you to hear this, because this is the crux of why I'm even doing this. When I say that cancel culture and critical race theory are getting hammered right now, yes, it's because of what I'm about to read to you right now. Here she is. Jessica Mendez says, I used to think there was no point in speaking at these meetings. Can you relate to this, by the way? I used to think there was no point in speaking at these meetings, that there was no point in trying to have a voice because you never seemed to listen anyway. But I had it all wrong. It wasn't you who needed to hear our voices. It was all those parents and grandparents and neighbors listening at home that are horrified at your actions or inactions. They were the ones who needed to hear us, and they were the ones who signed the petitions. We'll see you in court. Bam! Did you hear that? It was not a question. She recognized it was not a question always of whether or not the elected officials heard what they said. Sometimes it was more important that those in the community heard it being said and knew that people were on the march. And literally, like Charlene always says, there are more of us than there are of them. All right, so I said it a minute ago, it's bipartisan, right? Here's an article from hotair.com. Hotair.com is reporting, disgust with cancel culture is now bipartisan. On a separate poll, this is a Hill-Harris poll, Hill-Harris poll shows large majorities in all political demographics think that cancel culture has gone too far, and another one from the Pew Institute shows the narrowness of the faction pushing it. So what they're saying here is, Democrats, you know, are often more likely to say it's gone too far than independents. Democrats often fall into the margin of error, but it's, the bottom line was they found consensus on this, whereas there are certain topics that Democrats and Republicans tend to be, you know, on different sides of, not on cancel culture. On cancel culture, there was consensus that roughly 77% across both liberal and conservative lines believe that cancel culture had gone too far. And yet, you're going to like this one. This is just funny to me. Don Lemon. All right, now some of y'all immediately begin to laugh because I said Don Lemon. Because you know where I'm going here. Don Lemon. I mean, now I recognize that you're allowed to have an opinion. I'm an opinion show, right? This is solid conservative and just plain right. I don't hide it. But when you're going to be a journalist, when you're going to tout news, make sure it's actual news. Make sure it's actually like something you can relate to. But Don Lemon has built his career on basically spouting liberal lies and pretending that they're real. And Don Lemon is mad at Megyn Kelly. What? Yes. I don't know if you've heard or not, but Don Lemon has got a bit of a lifestyle issue. He's apparently been out there harassing other men in bars. And so there's a thing going on, right? There's a lawsuit, I believe, going on. And Don Lemon sent a letter, sent a legal letter to Megyn Kelly, accusing Kelly of allowing listeners to be fed what he called a lopsided and inaccurate story. Don Lemon saying this? Megyn Kelly has been put on legal notice by Don Lemon after the conservative talk show host invited Dustin Heiss, a man who made sexual harassment accusations against Lemon, onto her SiriusXM radio show. So Don Lemon doesn't like it when the narrative is one-sided on something that bothers him, which in this case is really about him. Listen, it goes on to say in the letter, it called her reckless and said that reporting her statements was wrong. And I hope you will correct your reckless reporting today and the prior public statements you have made about this case. Last I checked, it was the guy who's accusing him who was making the statements. Megyn Kelly just gave him a forum that nobody else was going to give him, by the way. Wow. You like that one, Copper? I see the ha wow on the screen. Yes, indeedy. All right. Listen, I got a few more of these. Let me run this one by you, though. As I tell you that the polls are showing that people are getting sick to death of cancel culture and critical race theory, which runs across party lines, across the lines of progressive to conservative. Nonetheless, it is still embedded in certain institutions. And I'm going to unpack more of this in a few minutes, but let me tell you this one before the break. This will boggle your mind. The American Medical Association. That's the American Medical Association. You know, they deal with medical things. Well, the American Medical Association, and according to a new story just out on Fox today, is pushing pro-critical race theory materials in its new health equity guide. Yes. In a guide released titled Advancing Health Equity, it promotes how to fight for critical race theory by including a list of words not to say and their equity-focused alternatives, and criticizes concepts like meritocracy, individualism, and free markets. The 55-page document released in late October cites a guide by the organization called Race Forward for how to advocate for critical race theory, which is called A Guide to Counter-Narrating the Attacks on Critical Race Theory. This is the American Medical Association. Pray tell, what does the leadership of the AMA think? Why would they be doing this? Perhaps it was done by an underling, someone who they didn't know had published this without their knowledge. No, because AMA President Gerald Harmon, in a statement released on October 28th, said this: "The dominant narratives in American medicine society reflect the values and interests of the historically more privileged socioeconomic groups, white, heterosexual, able-bodied, cisgendered, male, wealthy, English-speaking, Christian, and U.S.-born." God. Well, apparently I fail on every single one of those. These narratives have been deeply rooted in value systems and ingrained in cultural practices that have given preference to the interests of society's most powerful social groups, and they can be wielded as a weapon to oppress others. Blah, 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 blah. Your American Medical Association. All of you conservative doctors and medical practitioners out there may be rethinking any membership you have in the AMA. Copper, take us to a break before I lose my mind. Folks, we're going to wrap this thing up when we get back. You want to call in, you go right ahead, 866-494-9866. I'll wrap up this piece about critical race theory. I'm going to bring it back to the state of Alabama. A few things that have happened in recent weeks, and then kind of wrap up the day. Folks, love being with you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. And you can also find us live online at rightsideradio.org, where you can go and check out things about the show, about Copper and I. Both our bios are on there. You've got a photo gallery, you've got recommended reading, and you've also got the ability to download segments of the show. Every day, Copper gathers up the segments. We send them in. We get them uploaded in podcast form, and you can go there the next day and find them and re-listen, send them to somebody else, or just listen for the first time if you missed something. So anyway, rightsideradio.org. Hey, folks, we got some people on the line. I'm going to run out of time. Copper, if I don't get to both of them, just let one or the other know that I apologize, but we're out of time to do too much phone calling. But let me do this. I was going to talk about critical race theory, and I've got some stuff sitting here, but I want to honor the callers, too. So let me jump on line four, Matt from Huntsville. Hey, Matt, Phil Williams on Right Side. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
Last segment about conservative doctors, I was wondering if there's a list out there that we could go talk to these folks to get our medical exemptions signed.
Well, in fact, there are. And you know what? Now that you said that, I'm trying to think of the name of the organization. There's a group of doctors here in the state of Alabama, some of which are right here in Huntsville. And I won't name their names per se on the air, but they have been very openly positive about the idea of having alternative treatments, of the fact that people should be allowed to have antibodies considered, natural antibodies considered. And So Matt, let me do this. I'm going to try and find the name of this group of doctors, because I've got it in my records, and I'll bring that up tomorrow. Is that good for you?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being in the audience. So listen, critical race theory is out there. Now, I want to remind you of something. Here's the Alabama connection. If you remember back in August, the Alabama Policy Institute, where I do a lot of work also, took a stand with our state school board, along with some of our friends like at the Eagle Forum and others, And we asked them to please pass a resolution saying that critical race theory would not be a part of education in the K-12s for Alabama. And they did do that. Now, it was not the final say. It was a resolution. However, they took a vote just last week. Now, AL.com didn't like it. AL.com called it cheap politics. But on October 14th, which is, well, we're actually pushing about 3 weeks ago now, parents and activists came and protested, but yet they did pass by a vote of 7-2. The state board approved the resolution declaring the intent to not have critical race theory tenets in our education system. Now, understand, they are still doing stuff nationwide. People say it's not in schools. I've got a, you know what, we're not going to get to all this. I know we're not. Let me just do this. I'm going to jump over here. I got about 2 minutes. Let me go ahead and say hey to Kirby from Huntsville. Hey, Kirby, Phil Williams from Right Side. I got about 2 minutes, brother. How are you doing today?
Oh, fine. I just wanted to hit two things, and then I'll get off. You know, you talk about these sexually perverse people, you know, just so proud of everything that they're doing, flying their flag. Before they get too far into that, they may want to go visit Sodom. It used to be a very lush place where you could grow any kind of vegetable you want. And for the last several thousand years, it's nothing but a burned out, abandoned desert. And all it took was two angels. It didn't require F-22s or F-35s or any of the aircraft in the Chinese inventory. Also, speaking of climate control, you know, a lot of these liberals in California want us to do climate control. Let me ask you something. If they can do climate control in California, how come all these forest fires come along and burn up thousands and tens of thousands of acres if we're so good at climate control? And that's all my comment.
Well, Kirby, thanks for being in the audience, man. We appreciate your commentary, as always. All right, folks, listen, we are out of time. I'm left here with a stack of stuff and several clips we didn't even get to. But that's the nature of having a show that's this robust. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock on Veterans Day. Thank you to all of our veterans out there. And coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great one.